Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. Happy Monday. I'm Danielle Avari at the VSiN Circa Studio at our South Point Sportsbook Studio. Today we have Matt Youmans back from vacation and Vinny Maiulo in as usual on this Monday. Always happy to see Vinny. The NFL draft is just 10 short days away. We'll get into that in a little bit, but first some basketball news. As expected, five-star Chet Holmgren, the number one prospect in the class of 2021, committed to Gonzaga today. Not only is he the highest rated prospect to commit to Gonzaga since 2007, he also is the second top 10 prospect to land in Spokane, landing, of course, after Jalen Suggs, who also declared for the NBA draft today. So a lot going on for the Zags. Gonzaga's still the favorite to win the championship again next year. Not again as in they won this last year, but again as in they were a favorite this year. DraftKings has them 7-1. They're behind them. They have Villanova at 9-1, Michigan 12-1, Purdue and UCLA at 13-1. So lots of news going on today. Matt, what do you think about this commitment for Gonzaga and the loss of Jalen Suggs?
Well, no surprise either way, because I think the one thing you fully expected was that Jalen Suggs was going to enter the NBA draft. He was not coming back to school. Sure. And Chet Holmgren was going to stay committed to Gonzaga unless Tommy Lloyd talked him into going to Arizona. And I think there might have been a little bit of suspense about that. By the way, I think that was a great hire for Arizona. We'll get into why in a future show. I know there were a lot of former Arizona players that didn't want him and tried to wreck that hiring process. But he was Mark Few's top assistant at Gonzaga, mm-hmm. and he was a big reason the number one recruit committed to the Zags. And so there was some suspense there. Look, Gonzaga probably deserves to be favored next season, but I – right now on paper, even with these top recruits, Vinny, I can't say the Zags are better than they were last season. And in fact, I think a lot of other teams are getting better. UCLA is going to be better.
Yes.
UCLA is going to be loaded. There are a lot of teams on that list I think could overtake Gonzaga as a favorite by the time next season starts. Just because you have a freshman coming in who's a 7-footer, mm-hmm. Who's got a lot of skills and is going to be – the number one recruit in America, that doesn't mean you're the favorite to win the you're going to stay the favorite to win the NCAA championship. You're going to have Mark Few's going to have a young team, mm-hmm. lost some key players off this team. Right now, I think it's just kind of by default, wouldn't you say, that the Zags, when you start, Vinny, you've done this a lot of times, when you put up a futures board, you have to have a starting point. Right now, the Zags are like the easiest starting
point. It's the easiest starting point, Matt, because the fact of the matter is, look at the success that they've had over the years with recruits and with transfer. And at the transfer portal, let's remember, they benefited from transfers that are immediately eligible. So there's going to be a lot of that. This, you will see the Zags and a lot of other teams, because of the transfer portal in particular, that numbers will fly up and down. You're going to see, exactly right. You got to start somewhere. We started at 6. You know, we're going to go, you can go up from there. And it's a lot easier to manage risk being able to go up rather than necessarily come down. So, you know what? By default, good point. Perception is reality. And the fact of the matter is that Mark Few and his staff, they've done a great job of recruiting and developing the talent and getting them to play together. You know, everybody talks about the one and dones at Duke and Kentucky in particular. But this is a program that is certainly the best program on the West Coast, and they've proven it in the last few years. Daniel.
Yeah, it's hard to see who was the bigger loss for Gonzaga, Jalen Suggs or Tommy Lloyd. Yeah. That's going to be a huge position for Mark Few to fill. Mm-hmm. Some other news NFL-wise, Alex Smith, as expected again, officially retired. He was the first overall pick in the 2005 NFL draft. Washington obviously already signed Ryan Fitzpatrick to a one-year $10 million deal. That's his ninth team. Ron Rivera said he hasn't ruled out drafting a quarterback. Matt, what do you think? Would Washington draft a quarterback in this draft?
Why wouldn't you? If you're the Washington football team, I think you have to seriously look at drafting a quarterback. I'm not surprised Alex Smith retired. He was obviously running on fumes physically at the end of last season. In my book, he was the NFL comeback player of the year, Benny.
No doubt.
I know Brent Musburger talked about it on this show. You overcome cancer, or like Ron Rivera did throughout the season. I thought Rivera should have been coach of the year. Mm-hmm. You overcome the severe leg injury that Alex Smith did just to get back on the field and play. He's got to be the comeback player of the year. I thought Rivera was the coach of the year. But the Washington football team, Danielle, you're right, needs to address the quarterback position in this draft. Ryan Fitzmagic is not going to be a long-term answer.
All right, more NFL draft talk coming up. Stick with us right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari here at the VSiN Circus Studio inside the Circus Sportsbook. At the South Point Sportsbook Studio today, we have Matt Eumanns back, and we have Vinny Maiulo here, and a loaded amount of guests here. We have Chuck Esposito from the Sunset Station Sportsbook. We'll have William Hill, a Point Spread Weekly contributor, and later on we'll get to hear from Jonathan Von Tobel. JVT, he was here last week, our NBA senior analyst. Matt, welcome back. How was the golfing?
Hey, Danielle, thanks a lot. It was great in Hawaii for a week, Vinny.
Nice.
And got to play the Kapalua Plantation and Bay courses. Outstanding golf courses. Two of my top 10 golf courses ever played.
Well, we missed you. JVT.
You don't have to BS me, right?
Did well. Okay. In fact, JVT declared himself as the new, your replacement. But we did manage to get a little satellite footage from you over there, Matt. I think you made top 10s on ESPN a couple of times last week.
I have video of a 40-foot putt I made on number 17 at the Bay course. It could have been in the sports.
How many times did you putt that? Was that the only putt?
That was the only one.
Okay,
the video I showed you was like a 10-foot putt.
All
that
right.
Was no big deal.
Well, all right.
I had Roxanne was on the trip with me, and she was shooting some video. And if I missed a 12-footer, I'd say, all right, delete that.
Delete.
Video. Just save the ones where I made the putt.
That's all excellent. Right,
that's the
very
way it works.
Good. Very good.
It was
good.
Great to be in Hawaii for a week to golf, hit the beach, and do everything else. And I tried to follow as much sports as possible, but also get detached a little bit, Vinny, because when you do this on a day-to-day basis, week after week after week, really had been nonstop since last July.
Sure.
When everything started to restart. That was the first break I really took. I didn't place a bet for 6 days, and actually kind of felt good, but now I'm ready to jump back.
Are you all right?
I'm okay.
Yeah,
I didn't bet
reaction?
The golf tournament last week or anything.
Wow.
Didn't make a bet.
You didn't bet Stewart Cink?
Oof. No, we have a guest on this week who did bet Stewart
Cink.
All right,
well, that's good. We'll
Stephen Hennessy of Golf Digest bet him. I saw him as high as 135 to 1. I know he was a field bet.
We had him here
at
the
point,
field,
right?
Matt, yeah. Above 150 he would have been. My goodness.
Yankees off to a slow start. We got some heated debates here at VSiN over the NFL draft. We're going to talk baseball with Will Hill, Point Spread Weekly handicapper, later in this hour. Great to have him on the show. Hopefully we'll get him on a regular basis to handicap baseball and talk some NFL. And JVT, our senior NBA analyst, thanks for JVT for jumping in for me last week.
He did a good job.
He did a great job.
Very nice.
Don't downplay it. He did a great job. He and I might be hosting a show together again soon.
Well, that'd be nice. You guys were a good couple. Not quite the odd couple. You weren't Felix and Oscar. You did a good job. More like Abbott and Costello, but that's all right. They were successful, too.
All right, let's bring in Chuck Esposito, Sunset Station Sportsbook Director. I know a few guys who have more enthusiasm about the NFL draft than Chuck Esposito. Chuck, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. I'm good, Matt. It's fun to join that comedy routine I was just listening to. So it's all good stuff, guys.
Three Stooges now.
You know it, Mo. You know it, buddy.
Chuck, in the past week, we've seen NFL regular season win totals go up all over the place. NFL draft props are proliferating now at books all over the place, and you're going to see more and more for the next week or so. What do you have up at Station Casinos now for the draft? And you did put up the win totals last week, too, and I think you put up some Raiders props.
Oh, we did, Matt. With football, you know, kind of at the forefront right now. We know baseball, basketball, and hockey are all going on, but I am a draft pick, as you said, and we put up a bunch of draft props, some individual player props, some team props, all the Raiders games and regular season win totals for all the teams in the league. So it's kind of fun putting all this stuff together and getting it out on the board and getting ready for the draft a week from Thursday.
Chuck, you do a great job, too. You actually, in the past, have held a draft, a mock draft. Are you planning on doing that this year as well?
We are, Vinny. We're doing the mock draft, the radio show, the day of the draft that afternoon on Brian's Blessing Show. So okay. We'll be kind of going through the entire draft and, you know, talking about how some of that stuff applies to the props that are on the board. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to me. I think this year, you look at the two quarterbacks, 1 and 2. I mean, it appears that it's going to be Lawrence and Wilson. The Niners, personally, I don't think they traded up for Mac Jones. I think they traded up for Justin Fields, and I think the draft really gets started at 4, and I think that's what makes interesting the props with Trey Lance's number over under 6.5 and Ja'Marr Chase over under 6.5. I think it really depends on what Atlanta does. Do they stay in that spot and take a quarterback? Do they take Pitts, the tight end from Florida, or do they trade back? And that's when it really gets fun at 4.
I think the draft starts at 3, Chuck. And Vinny, we've heard Michael Lombardi talk about this a lot on VSiN here in the past week. Lombardi says Justin Fields is not going number 3, Chuck. He's talked to sources around the league. He said Fields is not going number 3. A lot of people believe, like you do, that Fields is going 3, and the Niners didn't trade up for Mac Jones. They traded up for Fields. Why do you believe it's Fields instead of Mac Jones? Because I think that there is some mystery about that, and that's where I think the draft really starts.
Well, I think you didn't have to trade up to 3 for Mac Jones. I think they probably could have traded up anywhere from 5 to 10 or in the 8 to 10 range and still had a real legitimate chance of Mac Jones. I think prior to all the Niner hype right now, he was projected more in the 10 to 15 range. So to trade up all the way to 3, I think it's two-pronged. I think maybe one, they didn't have their mind made up, and they figured that, hey, these are all talented guys. We do want to move forward with a quarterback. Let's do the evaluation process, but we're at 3. The other piece is, I mean, I don't know. I mean, are we sure the Jets are taking Zach Wilson at number 2? Could they throw a monkey wrench into it and take Fields at number 2?
No.
I know the Niners had some ties to Zach Wilson as well. So I think it's going to be interesting with the way those top 3 go. I just don't think the Niners would have given up what they did to trade up for Mac Jones at 3. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think JVT's in agreement with Chuck as well, Matt, that it's going to be Fields going number 3 to the Niners. Chuck, along those lines.
By the way, just quickly, look at DraftKings, the odds to be the 3rd overall pick. Justin Fields now even money. Right. Mac Jones plus 175. Chuck, what kind of a draft prop do you have up on the number 3 pick, the over-under draft positions for Fields and Mac Jones?
We don't have that one up, Matt. I think there was just so much, you know, right now information out there. We didn't put that up. We kind of started it more like right after that with, you know, the draft position of guys like Trey Lance and Ja'Marr Chase and put a lot of team props up overall, but kind of stayed away from those top 3 or 4 just because it looks like there might be some information out there quickly about who those guys are going to be. But I think at 3 and 4, it really gets interesting at that point. You know, does Atlanta take the, you know, their quarterback, and knowing that Ryan has at least 2 years left, I think it's with a third-year option to go with Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. Do they draft a Kyle Pitts? You know, what does Miami do? Do they try to trade up to get Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase? So I think that 4 to 6 range is really going to be interesting if a team decides they want to grab one of those guys, or if Atlanta stays put, and if they decide to take Trey Lance, what happens to the rest? I think one of the interesting props would be is, you know, will there be a defensive player taken in the top 10? I think if teams trade up for quarterbacks, and as rich as it is with the skill position players, with wide receivers and then offensive linemen and quarterbacks as well, you know, it's conceivable we don't see a defensive player go in the first 10 picks.
Chuck, you do a great job analyzing and breaking down the draft. I've had the opportunity and the fun to participate in your mock draft, and it's always enjoyable. It's always informative. And along the lines with the quarterbacks, did you post if haven't yet, are you thinking about a prop in terms of total number of quarterbacks taken in the first round? What would you use on the over and under?
Well, it's 5.5. You know, juiced heavily to the under. Mm-hmm. However, I really think that there's a chance that a 6th goes. I think when you look at the draft, it's not an exact science. We've seen the struggles before with Trubisky and Mariota and Winston and Goff and Wentz, who have all changed teams. So, you know, no matter what these scouts and GMs and analysts look at, it's obvious that those guys were all 1 or 2 and didn't really pan out. You look at what Baltimore did several years ago, trading back into the top end or the back end of the first round for Lamar Jackson. I think when you look at guys like Munn from A&M, Trask from Florida, who was in the Heisman discussion up until the end, and then Davis Mills from Stanford, it wouldn't stun me to see a team trade back late just to have that fifth year of control. Because this year, more than any, I mean, you talk about not only the teams at the top, but talk about Pittsburgh, New England, Chicago, the Washington football team, Denver, Carolina, that New Orleans, all could be interested in another quarterback. So I think that's why I know it's juiced heavily to the under, but I think there's a real shot that a sixth quarterback finds their way into the back end of round one.
Interesting, man.
The plus price on over 5.5 is around, what, $3, Chuck? What do you have on that?
Yeah, it's right around there, Matt. It was kind of like, I think, minus $5 on the under. But I think you're going to see some action, you know, on that plus price, too. I think just because, again, it's such a quarterback-driven league. And, you know, one of these guys, in a traditional year, these guys are probably more back end of round two or round three guys.
Right.
But I think, again, with so many teams with question marks, that you could see someone try to grab one of those guys. I mean, if you're Chicago or Washington or even Pittsburgh, I mean, it makes some sense, I think, if you have your eyes set on one of those guys, because it might be more of maybe not they're not going to start year one, but maybe you have that guy then for that fifth year, which is vital at that position.
I agree with you. Actually, I think there's a decent shot. The Buccaneers picked number 32. They basically have their entire team back, Vinny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the Bucs could draft a guy like Kyle Trask.
They could.
They could take Davis Mills from Stanford, who is the top quarterback recruit out of high school, by the way. A lot of people tend to forget that. Mm-hmm. So if it's not the Bucs, maybe somebody trades up, like Chuck says, into the end of that first round, because you get that fifth-year option on a rookie quarterback. And I think that's worth a shot at about plus $3 or more.
Well, and then under the tutelage of Tom Brady for at least a couple of seasons, right? You would figure, at least certainly this year and probably next year, if you listen to what Brady's had to say about retiring.
You guys look at Green Bay, for an example. I mean, they clearly drafted Rodgers knowing he was going to sit behind Favre. They've drafted Jordan Love knowing he's going to sit behind, Rodgers. So, I think if you're one of those teams that you know that this is a quarterback-driven league, you should be always looking at that, not waiting until that guy steps aside.
Right.
So, yeah, it wouldn't stun me at all to see Tampa be one of those teams. I think Buffalo, with not a lot of picks this year and picking, I think, 30th, it wouldn't stun me to see Buffalo trade out of the first round. I think they're the ideal trade partner for a lot of teams if somebody wants to bolt back in late in round one.
All right, Chuck Esposito with us, Sunset Station Sportsbook Director, talking NFL Draft. I'm going to write about the NFL Draft tonight and do my first mock draft, Finny.
You are.
For Point Spread Weekly, so that'll be in there this week.
Very good,
like
Matt.
I said, nobody loves the NFL Draft more than Chuck Esposito.
He loves it.
And, Chuck, I wish we could have the COVID put the damper and canceled our draft party down at Sunset Station last year. Are you going to be able to pull that off this year, or is that a no-go again?
It's unfortunately, Matt, it is a no-go this year. We're already making preparations, though, for a big one next year, knowing that the draft will be back here in Vegas again as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, unfortunately, I wish we could do our Get Drafted at Sunset party, but it's going to be put off for one more year, unfortunately.
All right, Chuck, you put up season win totals. Brent Musburger is going to be a little bit irritated. You guys put the Raiders at 7.5. Season win total at 7.5, priced at, to the over, I think, minus 125. Brent's going to be more optimistic about the Raiders, I think, than that. But you also put up lines on all of the Raiders' regular season games, all 17 games. And the last game, Raiders minus 2 over the Bears, Vinny. That was the one we talked about being added as the 17th game. Bears at Raiders.
Yeah, and Chuck, now you grew up a Bears fan. What did you make that number? Tell the folks what you have for that game here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, the Raiders are a very small favorite in that game, Matt. Vinny, we don't know the sequence of all these games yet.
Right.
How many teams,
will be
primetime games, or, you know, how many road games or home games. I think the big key is with the Raiders is, you know, they were 6-2 on the road last year and 2-6 at home.
Mm-hmm.
They were 4-2 in their division. So usually you see a team that's successful on the road and in their division, and it should spell better than 8-8. But if you were a better last year who went over 7.5, you had to pray that they won, you know, the last week of the season, which they won by 1 point against Denver in a struggle to get to that over. So I think you look at the Raiders, they're underdogs in all away games. They've got three tougher games at home. Mm-hmm. I think Dolphins, Ravens, and Chiefs, where they're all underdogs. So they're favorites in six of the home games since they have nine home games. But I think, you know, it's going to be a struggle for them to get to, you know, to win more games than they lose this year unless they can learn how to win at home and learn how to finish strong, because two straight years they've really tailed off during the last 7 or 8 weeks of the season.
Okay, so here's the angle you might look at here if you want to play the Raiders over 7.5. Chuck, Vinny, are they going to benefit from fans filling Allegiant Stadium this year? You didn't have home field advantage in 2020. Mm-hmm. Are the Raiders going to have a bigger home field advantage, much bigger home field advantage in 21, Vinny?
Well, I think that they will. I mean, anytime you've got fans rooting for you. Now, we know that there's going to be plenty of visiting support as well, right? Folks coming here for making these Raider games events and being an event-driven destination. Las Vegas is certainly going to be that way. But I still think two things, the home field and the crowd, but Chuck brought up a key point as well, the sequence of these games, where are they going to fall in terms of the schedule and how they scheduled?
Well, don't forget, guys, although the Raiders will have fans here, you know, they were 6-2 on the road last year. How much success will they have in full stadiums? Which team's rooting against them? Will that game in Denver be that much tougher? Will the game in Pittsburgh be that much tougher because there's fans in these venues? So I think as much as it favors them at home, of course it works against them when they're on the road. And, you know, you're not going to be expected to go 6-2 on the road every year. I think, again, it's a good sign for a young team, but you have to win at home.
Yep.
And that's true. The Raiders will probably be worse on the road and better at home in 2020. Mm-hmm. One than they were in 2020. Chuck, thanks for jumping on today, man. Let's catch up again next week before the draft.
All right. Sounds awesome, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Chuck.
Look forward to it.
Take care,
Chuck
buddy.
Esposito, Sunset Station Sportsbook Director, back in a couple minutes here on My Guys in the Desert.
Into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Vinny Maiulo.
All right, Vinny, before the break, I was going to tease too. You won't believe what Charles Barkley said. That's a little too vague. He says a lot of
he says a lot of things.
A lot of oddball comments. We're going to get to that here in a second. Governor Cuomo in New York signed a budget bill that includes authorization of mobile sports betting into law in New York. It's going to be several months before it's launched, but New York jumping in now. Charles Barkley said this. This is via Alex Kennedy, NBA. Barkley's quote, "I was talking to an NBA owner who told me in 3 to 5 years, we won't even need the TV money. That's how big gambling is going to be."
What does that mean?
And the note is, a Starbucks in New Jersey, just outside of New York, has surpassed Nevada as the top sports gambling hotspot.
Yeah.
So when I first read this, I said, that's BS. But how much can these leagues rake in sponsorships? And what are you talking in terms of revenue from actual sports betting? How are the leagues going to profit that much from what's going on here?
Well, I think, and again, I don't know what exactly he's specifically referring to, but first of all, TV money is not going to go away, right? And there's going to be continued to be TV deals. People want to see events, and TV meaning, you know, just regular TV. There's going to be live streaming, all of that. The video portion of it, right? So let's put that into one category.
Well, people want to bet
right?
what they can watch,
and they want to see it, right? Yeah. They want to be able to watch it, and in order to watch it, you're going to have to pay for it. And there's going to be, you know, TV's going to, the networks and streaming services are going to lay the money out for it. That's the first part. The other part about the gambling, the league, the teams are not in the bet taking business. I mean, there's sponsorship, there's co-promotional, there's marketing deals in place. You know, we see Derek Stevens and the San Diego Padres have one such deal in place in San Diego. So congratulations to them. That's the kind of things, if that's what he's referring to, that'll continue to get bigger. But I don't think the TV money is going to go away. In terms of a Starbucks in New Jersey, just outside of New York, as a hot spot, first of all, I know several pizza parlors that are even hotter, number one. Number two, most of those bets are coming from New Yorkers who are going across either the GW or in tunnels.
You'll see that New Jersey sports wagering handle dip because
once New York gets
once New York gets in the game, right?
And by the way, there's several. There's four. I believe four establishments in upstate New York right now that have some that have mobile sports betting upstate. Four tribal locations in upstate New York already have it.
So I think this quote's off. When he's talking to an NBA owner who says in 3 to 5 years we won't need the TV money.
Nah.
All right, to me that's complete BS. You're always going to need the TV money.
Yes. It's not going away.
I don't know how gambling revenue could dwarf TV money. I just don't know how that. Now, we know gambling is sports gambling is exploding. The sponsorship money is going to be there from several companies, including DraftKings, and et cetera. But I just don't see how the financial revenue from sports betting could make TV money obsolete. To me, I think that's an insane thought that NBA owner had. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just can't see how I'm wrong.
I'm with you, Matt. I don't see it going away. I only see it expanding, actually, because there'll be more distribution aspects in place as we move forward.
And I think it's great that sports betting is exploding the way it is. We're still in, I think, in the early stages of the sports betting explosion. We've got, 27 states now have signed sports betting into law?
Yeah, about halfway, Matt.
It's going to be, before you know it, it's going to be over 40.
It's going to keep growing, Matt. Yeah. It's. I think it's going to catch on. You know, I kind of figured that when I made the move from the dice pit. I was a visionary.
That was a good move. I know, Vinny, I know you and your viewing habits, and I bet you were glued to the screen Saturday night to watch Jake Paul.
The 1 minute, or two, I'm sorry, less than 2 minutes?
John Anik, who's a frequent guest on this show, UFC commentator, tweeted this, would like to see this Jake Paul cat fight an active UFC fighter with some hands. I can think of hundreds. Paul was sitting there at minus 110 by TKO against a grappler coming off recent hip replacement surgery. Love Ben Askren, but not at all his world. Ben Askren is a washed-up MMA fighter who's had injuries, who's old. He is not, in any sense, one of the better MMA fighters. So the fact that Jake Paul knocked him out in a boxing match, which, by the way, did you see the punch?
I did. He got him. He caught him.
He caught him. But how can any pro fighter get knocked out by that? A
pro fighter,
it looked to me like a guy who's just in there for the paycheck. But Vinny, so that event was bet heavily at a lot of places.
$1.70 on the opener, and they just bet Paul like crazy. Just kept betting him.
Right.
Didn't have to wait long either.
All right, we'll talk more NFL draft. We come back next on My Guys in the Desert.
And I'm Danielle Alvari. With all the spring sports betting action, you need the VSiN experts to stay ahead of the game. The best place to start is VSiN.com, where we're covering baseball, the NHL and NBA playoff races, the NFL draft, and every game on the schedule to give you the betting edge. While you're there, get all of the latest Vegas odds, check out our bet tracker and parlay calculator tools, read in-depth articles from our team, including betting strategies from basic to advanced theory, and you can also listen to our VSiN shows 24/7 for free. Start your daily betting at VSiN.com, and while you're there, check out our subscription options starting at $22 per month. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Vinny Maiulo.
Okay, Danielle, thanks. We're going to talk some more NFL draft. And Vinny, it is Monday, April 19th. The first round of the NFL draft is Thursday, April 29th, so about 10 days out. When is the South Point going to put up NFL draft
prep? Next week, week of. Always have. And that's what.
A week from today?
Yeah, I don't know about a week from today, but week of. So
They have to be down by next Wednesday.
They have to be down by midnight on Wednesday. So typically we've had them up the first part of the week, last couple of years.
And what's the philosophy behind that? I know Chris Andrews was on with Gil Alexander this morning talking about booking the NFL draft. You want to explain? Because every bookmaker's got a different philosophy. I know the guys at the Westgate don't like to book the NFL draft because they say they lose on it. There's a lot of sharp money, information-based money. What
I think there's that element to it, Matt. Again, those guys, if that's how they, follow it. You try to put up as many things as you can, Matt. I think when you sit here, you try to do your own mock draft now, right, and figure out how things are going to play out, and you base your prices on those. The fact is, if there's a trade, we were talking with Chuck Esposito, in the first segment. If there's another move, how that impacts, like the quarterback prop or the draft position of so and so, and things like that. So it's where we get a better idea of, give less time to have changes of those. Then that's how we that's been our approach.
Okay,
and that's what worked out best for us.
I've typically done a mock draft a lot sooner than I do now. I held off doing it this year, Vinny, because idea that there were going to be a lot of trades made before the draft, and no reason to do what Mel Kiper and Todd McShay do and put out six mock drafts before the middle of April
constantly.
And change it every week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work on mine tonight, but I've got a decent idea what I'm going to do. Well, I was on vacation last week. It got in at 8 o'clock this morning. I was watching some videos on the VSiN feed at VSiN Live, and it looked to me that Michael Lombardi was taking a lot of heat from some people for saying that Mac Jones was going to go number 3 to the 49ers, and the betting market disagreed, say it's going to be Justin Fields. And a lot of people, including Jonathan Von Tobel, who's going to be on with us next hour, believes it's Fields. Chuck Esposito said Fields. Mm-hmm. So there's a big disagreement here about what's going on. That's why I say the draft starts at number 3. I think you and I both believe, most people do, that Zach Wilson is going to the Jets at 2, right?
I would say at this point, yeah. Once the Jets traded Sam Darnold, it looked like they were moving on to Wilson for sure. Is it going to shock me if it's Fields or Jones? No. We know this. There's going to be something shocking in the first round, right? Whether it's who somebody takes.
The Las Vegas Raiders select Cleveland Furrell, number 4.
So there's going to be something that gets everybody torqued, and that's just part of it.
Let's listen to Michael Lombardi's take on the number 3 draft pick the 49ers have traded up to get. This is Michael Lombardi on the Lombardi Line.
Over the last 24 hours, of course, we tackled yesterday extensively Justin Fields jumping up as far
can
as
Can I tell you
odds.
The news that I've
yes,
heard?
I
can I tell you the news that I've heard? Justin Fields is not going to go number 3. That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. Now, if you want to believe that or not, I love the people on Twitter that say that they're like weathermen. Like, seriously, like, where are you getting your information? Like, you got better sources than me? Good luck. Good luck. I'm just telling you, if it's not Mac Jones, it's Trey Lance. So take that as what you want, Patrick. Please do with it what you will.
I'm literally opening up my app and betting right now, so I will take it. I have a front row seat to the information.
You can buy them. You can buy the perception. I see you, JJ. I love when you raise your hands over there. You look good doing it. I got to get you a Daily Coach shirt when you do it.
Wait,
you know?
Just to be clear before the action update, to take the lumberjack
off. Just
to
be clear.
I need
to
know.
That's a Bill Berman line. Let's be clear here. That's
Justin Fields, not going 3 overall.
He's not going 3. Okay. He's not going to go 3, Patrick.
Okay.
So in Michael's mind, he's not. He may be, I guess, the fifth quarterback taken.
Sure sounds that way.
So
could be Justin Fields slipping out of the top 10.
You know,
or again, he could be going number 3. So he says definitively he is not going number 3, talking about Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm. No. Matt, again, Michael has good sources, and bet accordingly, right? I mean, if he's gonna play, or if you follow Michael, you hit Michael's last couple of drafts, then and his information, then that's something that you want to pay very close attention to. JVT, obviously, JVT got a good price. I want to say he got, if I recall, last week. I want to say at least 3-1, maybe, on Fields going third?
I don't know. We'll ask him when he's on next hour.
Yeah.
I don't want to speculate about it, but he got a plus price somewhere around 2-1, I think. But DraftKings odds to be the 3rd overall pick. Justin Fields, even money.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones plus 175 with Trey Lance. And then Zach Wilson, 25-1. Kyle Pitts, Florida tight end, 50-1. Ja'Marr Chase, LSU wide receiver, 80-1. Who will draft Justin Fields? 49ers, even money. Falcons, 4-1. Patriots, 6. Broncos, 8-1. Washington, 10-1. Lions, I don't know why the Lions would draft Justin Fields. They just traded for Jared Goff. They say he's a guy. That doesn't make any sense. Panthers just traded for Sam Darnold at 12-1. Wipe those teams off the list. I find this fascinating, and I think this is that's why the draft, for me, clearly starts at number three. You have Michael Lombardi, who has sources throughout the NFL, saying, hey, Justin Fields is not going number three. But the betting market is telling you that Fields is going number three. Now,
well, he did work out twice for the 49ers, right, specifically, right? And I think that had a lot to do with people's belief. Right.
The thing about draft information, okay, there's a lot. There's a lot of lies and there's a lot of misinformation out there before the
draft. By design, right?
Last year at this time, Michael Lombardi said over and over, Justin Herbert will be drafted ahead of Tua. Herbert's going ahead of Tua. Mm-hmm. Well, the Dolphins put out a lot of misinformation about what they were going to do and misled everybody. And I'm not taking a shot at Lombardi. This just happens in the draft. There's misinformation that's put out there.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins deceived a lot of people before last year's draft. And now the 49ers are the team on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
If you bet on it today, Vinny, who would you say the number three pick is?
I would probably still go with Fields. I would.
Fields?
It's going to be a quarterback. I think it would be Fields.
All right.
Personally.
Let's talk to Will Hill next. We'll talk NFL draft and baseball with the Point Spread weekly contributor William Hill up on deck.
To the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Youmans and Vinny Maiulo.
All right, great to have this guy back on the show, William Hill. Follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill, Point Spread Weekly writer, VSiN contributor. Will, good to see you again, man. We've been talking a lot of NFL draft, and Mike Lombardi has been fending off critics who say that he doesn't know what he's talking about with Mac Jones going number three to the 49ers. Is that where you think the draft starts, and what do you think the 49ers are going to do at number three?
Well, he's going to have one more critic if Fields go three, because I'm going to go with Lance here. I do think the draft okay. starts at three. Wow. I'm just going to trust him. I mean, he was pretty adamant. He didn't say, I think, or I hope, or that's where I'm leaning. I mean, if you guys heard him, he was pretty adamant that Fields is not in the picture. And I mean, look, I see you guys got Fields at even money to go to the 49ers. And if you just assume that he's not in the picture, it's down to Jones or Lance. He hasn't committed. I mean, from what Lombardi says, we don't know if it's Jones. It might be, it could be. So I think there's enough variance there where if you're going to write off Fields, that Lance is worth a look here at plus 500.
Well, Matt, you know, the other part of it is, and this ties in several things about what we're talking about, right? When you're betting, now he's even money. If you got 3-1 at one point, it depends on what you have earlier, right? Mm-hmm. And that also impacts. So, you know, we were talking about when we post numbers, too. You start posting numbers now, you've got to take into consideration what was out there earlier because we may only get one-way action on what we post sure. based on what we believe, too. So we're trying to get two-way action. But sometimes, you know, if you put up something just because somebody else has it up or is impacted by what another property has put up on a particular player or series sets of players, then it just guarantees you one-way action and you're gambling. So.
All right.
Just to feed off of that, too, I think an important thing to add, I mean, we talk about it all the time, having multiple outs, NFL draft is important as ever. You know, you could find arbitrage situations where a guy is something is plus 270 one place, minus 230 another, and you could just make money. I mean, it's a grind. It's logging into six or seven accounts, checking everything, but you can make money just by having multiple accounts. And I remember last year, there were so many props up because there were no sports, but I think it was Jonathan Taylor was at some books 40.5, other books, you know, 45.5, and I played the middle and I hit the middle. So.
Yeah.
If you do your homework, it pays off. And you always have multiple outs.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that. Those draft position props, you can find dramatically different numbers, yes, and actually just dramatically different prices on a lot of the props up there in the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. What, Will, you write a lot about the NFL and baseball for Point Spread Weekly. What would you call your best NFL draft bet at this point, one or two of them?
Yeah, the one I've seen under 1.5 for the running backs taken. Again, I don't see the updated market on that, but that's one I really like. I just think direction of the league, it's a passing league. You know, it's about quarterbacks, receivers, pass rushers, guys that can cover the receivers. Last year, Allaire was the only running back taken in the first round, and he was the last pick of the first round. And I think if you gave the Chiefs truth serum, they might regret that pick. That was kind of a luxury pick. That was, you know, look how good we are, we can shop at the toy department kind of pick, where, you know, they could have used help on the offensive line or another defensive player. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you look at the guys recently going the first round, Fournette. I mean, he wasn't even on the team a few years later. Zeke, I mean, that's the other thing. You pick these guys that high, you got to pay them with that second contract. For running backs, it's not really worth it. And you can find, look, Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Kamara. These are guys that went second, third round. So I just think directionally under 1.5 running backs is a good bet if you can find it.
Travis Etienne, it's about the one.
Yeah, there's not much value. Yeah. Najee Harris from Alabama. Yeah. There's not much value in taking a running back in the first round.
Well, if you're a team like the Jets, you're gonna be able to get him in the second round, in all likelihood.
All right, let's get to baseball. Will, I want to ask you this first, and this is the cover of the New York Post recently. Start spreading the booze. The fans lace into the American League worst Yankees after another ugly loss to the Rays. What's wrong with the Yankees right now? You never want to overreact to a small sample early in the season. Yankees are 5-10 out of the gate. I thought they were a little overrated coming into the season. Do you think this team has serious issues, or what's wrong with the Yankees right now, Will?
You're trying to get me worked up. I'm a Yankee fan. We're censored on here, so I can't even really go off the way I want, but I'll start. I don't know how much time we have. George Steinbrenner's not walking through that door. I mean, it used to be they would spend, they would win. I mean, look at last offseason. They don't supplement the roster. They go cheap with Kluber, with Taillon. No interest in Bauer, Springer, the big free agents. A few years back, no interest in Machado, Harper. They're beholden to this luxury tax. This is a team that's worth $7 billion, and they're beholden to the luxury tax. You go to a Yankee game, it's $50 to park. It's $15 for a beer, but they can't go over the luxury tax. It's crazy. It's not being run properly. I mean, they got Cole a couple of years ago, and I'm sure the lineup will hit, but you know, they have some issues on defense. They have a lot of issues after Cole. They're boring. They're unathletic. They strike out a lot. So some of it, like you said, is early, but some of these problems are very real. And I think they'll win their probably 90-something games still just because the lineup is really good, but the problems are real.
You know, I've said this for years. I'll get your guys' opinion quickly. I've said for years, I think Brian Cashman's vastly overrated as a GM. He's got all the resources in the world, somehow finds a way to pull the wrong strings. And I thought the Giancarlo Stanton deal was a prime example of how you mismanage your bankroll, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And the Yankees have not been able to make a lot of other moves that would have been positive for this roster because of the Stanton deal.
Well, you got the Stanton deal, and it's feast or famine with him and a lot of other batters, right? Solo home runs, lots of strikeouts. Their defense is not particularly good outside of Cole. They have no starting pitch. I think they relied on analytics a great deal and for their bullpen to really bail them out, and the bullpen has not stepped up. So you put all those factors together, say the best thing they have going for them is the fact that they're going to play teams like the Tigers, you know, and the Rangers, right?
Orioles.
You know, Orioles for 60 games. But there's other surprises and teams that are, you know, look at the Red Sox in the division. And, of course, and now they just got swept by the Rays, who were supposed to be rebuilding.
Will, do you
I'll put you back on Stan a little bit just because he was coming off a 57 homer year, I think, and you got him for just money. And you could say, all right, $30 million a year, a lot of money. But again, this team was just valued at $7 billion. $7 billion. You can afford a bad $30 million. I mean, like, not to go back to the point, but George Steinbrenner was live. He'd say, all right, we made a mistake. It's not going to stop us from another one. And, you know, you got to spend money to make money. And they just, this is a team that prints money, basically. So to use the money as a cop-out, it's something that I just don't buy.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like the Stanton deal because he strikes out too much. And I thought the Yankees could have spent that money in other areas and made this roster better. And they could spend. They could spend a lot more. And you can overcome the Stanton deal, yes. But I still think Brian Cashman's mismanaged this. Do you put blame on Cashman? Do you think Aaron Boone needs to be put under the microscope here? What's responsible if things continue to go wrong for the Yankees?
Yeah, I think that the issue with Stanton, I would agree with too. They're too right-handed. So you face a guy in the playoffs, LeMay, who Torres, Stanton, Judge. You find a right-handed pitcher with a good curveball, which, look, there's a lot of right-handed pitchers out there. You run into trouble. I think Cashman's done okay on the trades. I mean, they got Voit for basically nothing. They've done okay on some of the trades. They got a lot back for Chapman with Gleyber Torres, and they get Chapman back. I just go back to the spending. I think this team could spend way more than they are. So, and I don't love Boone as a manager. I don't think he's great. You know, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. They got rid of Girardi, which was crazy. I mean, that was a great run in 2017. They were like 35-1 to win it all. They were up 3-2 in the ALCS. Just a great, fun, young, underachieving team, and they let him go. I don't know if it's because he wanted to actually manage the team, and these GMs run the team nowadays, and he didn't agree with the analytics, or he was too fiery. And we never got a full story with that. And they didn't technically fire him. They just didn't renew his contract. But to me, looking back, that was kind of crazy.
I thought so at the time as well. Yeah. All right, let's do some quick hits on these games that you like tonight. Brewers, Padres, and San Diego coming off an emotional series against the Dodgers. Padres minus 165 or so tonight at Petco Park against the Brewers. Is this going to be a letdown spot? Do those exist in baseball after that Dodgers-Padres series? Might you look to bet against the Padres tonight? The total is 6.5.
Yeah, that's actually going to scare me away. If you can find a 7, I played the under. I think the move to the 6.5 is correct just because you look a little deeper at these teams. They're both really good on defense. I think that's something we kind of overlook as baseball fans sometimes is defensive run save. They're both up there. Both good bullpens. The Padres' bullpen's been lights out. Brewers got Hader and Williams at the end there, and Woodruff is outstanding. You know, 100 miles an hour with sink. It's crazy some of the stuff these guys throw today. So I like the under here. I think it's 6.5. You're cutting a little close. Remember, 3-3, you're going to lose because there's going to be obviously a 7th run scored. So if you can find a 7, I do like an under here.
20-cent move to the Padres now, $1.55, and to Will's point, from 7 to 6.5 now.
All right, that's Woodruff against Joe Musgrove, who threw the Padres' first ever no-hitter. All right, let's go to Cardinals and Nationals. That's the top game on the rotation, 9:51-52. And it's essentially a pick'em game with a total of 8. That's Jack Flaherty against the red-hot Joe Ross, Will.
Yeah, of all the Nationals pitchers to have 11 shutout innings, I wouldn't pick Joe Ross at the beginning of the year. I kind of don't buy it. 2016 was the last time he had an ERA under 5. I think this is a little bit of fluke. I think Flaherty's the much better pitcher. I'm going to go with the Cardinals here. It feels like the Nationals, look, you do it 10 times out of 10, but it looks like they sold their soul for that title a couple years back. I mean, they threw Strasburg, they threw Corbin, they threw him out of the bullpen, short rest, you name it. And now all those guys, you know, Strasburg's hurt, his velocity's down, Corbin's velocity's down. He got bombed the other night. So, and they traded Giolito, they traded Lizardo. I mean, you do it 10 times out of 10 because winning one title is hard. You know, one World Series is a lot, but it looks like they're kind of paying the price for that. I kind of like them as an over before the year. I might have been wrong on that one. I think they'll probably have a bad year.
6 cent move to the Cards now at $1.09, man. Yeah.
Okay, one more game to talk about tonight, and that's the team that beats up on Will Hill's Yankees, the Rays. The Rays are in Kansas City. It's Josh Fleming starting for the Rays against Danny Duffy. And, Vinny, what do you have for a line here on Tampa Bay KC?
At KC, a surprise team so far this year at 9-5. They're a dime, even money on the Rays from 8 to 7.5 on the total.
Will, what's your play here?
I love the Royals, man. This is my little pet team. I bet them, I think, 42-1, some weird number to win the division. It's down to like 12-15-1. I just love the offseason they had. You know, Santana's a professional hitter, knows how to get on base. Benintendi was a big part of that 108-win Red Sox team. You know, Soler led the league in homers. Just an underrated lineup. You know, Merrifield, Dozier. So I like the lineup. I think, you know, Rays bullpen is as good as it was last year. So I'm going to play the Royals here. I'm on them a lot this year. I think they're a fun team, underrated team.
All right, Will, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it, man. Let's check in again next week. We'll talk more about the draft and the Yankees. All right?
All right, be good, guys. VSiN.com/subscribe if you haven't heard. See ya.
Follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. JVT joins us, hour number 2 here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.